Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. God, thank you that you're so near and that you are ever with us. Even when we are faithless, you are ever so faithful. And so God, would you move in your words? Would that be food for us? May your words be a sword, God, to cut through, God, the layers of hardness that may be in our hearts. Would you transform us by the renewal of our minds? God, be all to us as we come before your presence, before the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so for those who are traveling, speaking to predominantly the folks that may be listening in our online service, but to the growth groups, if we could go over this particular sermon for all the growth groups and for all our members, for those who might have missed this, I'd ask that you catch up and have a conversation. We are finalizing our subpart on the spiritual disciplines. We are finalizing the subpart in this four-part section, let me just be more clear, as we talk about forgiveness. And that forgiveness is a discipline because it's a command. It's a daunting command, and there are different aspects of it and different types of forgiveness, and it's difficult. And we went over some of those. We went over to grasp forgiveness and the discipline of forgiveness. Remember what we talked about? Spiritual discipline is there, just like any discipline. If you want to enjoy sports, you have to be disciplined. I don't know of any athlete that is not disciplined that enjoys playing sports. You have to have some discipline. You have to practice. And that goes for even music. And I would even say, I didn't want to say it, even for gaming. For the guys that are out there, you know, at least for the guys that are doing gaming at this professional level, you have to have some sort of discipline. And forgiveness is one of those areas. But I will say this about forgiveness. It is the hallmark of the Christian faith. That means whatever commands, here's the thing about, and we're going to, you know, really dive into it more as we talk about fellowship. But God would not command you to do anything unless you could. Now, some of the things that God commands requires discipline. And here's a promise. This and what I'm talking about today is only for believers. So if you're not a believer, this is a supernatural power of a believer, and that is forgiveness. I would not dare to talk about what I would talk about with a non-believer. And many of you, though, out there that are listening, might go, well, I don't think about this like this. And perhaps you haven't realized the supernatural powers. Now, there are enemy forces at work to prevent you from this area of forgiveness. Matter of fact, if I have to pick one thing in this life that the enemy is arrayed to attack and to keep your eyes blinded, is in the area of forgiveness. There is no claim in any other faith but the Christian faith. It is what separates us from everybody else. And I claim that boldly, not because I can. It's because God, who has transformed me, has enabled me to do so. And many of us lack faith in this area because this is the one area that we all struggle with, and it must be thought through very carefully. It's a discipline because many of you think that forgiveness is like just taking the easiest path, right? It's like water flowing, and it isn't. It is not. If you've approached your Christian life like water flowing downhill, then this is what I'm saying. I promise you, if you don't have a discipline of forgiveness, then you have wounds that have been festering for many, many years. And it has not healed. You have offenses. You've been offended and appalled. You might have been traumatized and it hasn't healed over. It hasn't healed over. And this is the primary reason why it hasn't healed over. So listen carefully. This is really important. I don't make it important because Henry thinks it's important, because when Jesus teaches us how to pray, he makes it the centerpiece of his prayer. Let's pick it up. The second half, as we address God, we magnify God, hallow his name, we surrender ourselves saying, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is submitting ourselves. We're coming into the presence of God. And I hope you did that today. Because what we're going to talk about today requires for you to surrender. If you haven't surrendered yourselves, if you haven't come into the kingdom, cried, then this will be foreign. Now, take note, but this is the promise of God. If you surrender to God, you are going to be transformed into a different kind of human being. A different kind of human being is the promise of God. And it's the kind of human being that radiates. When we're talking about the city on a hill, this is it. So let's read. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, sin in this regard, right, isn't just saying sin. It's talking about debt. Sometimes we think about like sexual morality, right? All kinds of sins, but this is debt, right? Because the greatest commandment in all of Scripture is to love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, and soul. That means to love God is to what? What does Jesus say? To obey his commandments. So there's a debt because we haven't loved him as we ought. And we haven't loved one another as we ought. There's a debt. We come and it says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Two sides of the same coin. For if you forgive others their trespasses, notice how he wraps that up. For this is the summary. This is the highlight. Jesus kind of highlighted, hey, lead us not into temptation. We talked about that last week. He could have underlined in teaching us how to pray. He could have underlined anything, but he summarizes in a sense, but he really underlines if you know the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation is the next. So, .. He's already covered the leading us not into temptation. But he wants to go back and hit this other point again. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here's the thing. If you do not forgive, you are not a Christian. As simple as that. It is as simple as that. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Blessed be the merciful, right? That they shall receive mercy. You're not going to receive mercy because you are merciful. The point is, it's part of the same thing. You can't have the mercy of God flowing and for you not to be merciful. It is your birthright. It is your inheritance. It is the hallmark of the Christian faith. Forgiveness is. And you will know how to do it in every circumstance where you feel debt. Let's talk about what we think is the hardest, but it isn't. But let's just talk about our enemies. When we think about enemies, people who are like out to get you maybe, people who gossip about you at work, people at school, You know, people who ignore you, don't even treat you like a human being. Customers who come, right, are mean to you, or customer representatives who might say something offensive to you. And maybe, even one another. They feel like enemies. Jesus says in Matthew 5:4-4, but I say to you, love your enemies and what? Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be what? Sons of your Father who is in heaven. You know what that means? It's a requirement. That's all I'm saying. It's a requirement. Like, we don't get to compartmentalize. You're going to have people in your lives who are not for you, but if you don't know how to, so that you may be sons of your Father. So loving your enemy, right? Life, if you think about as a syllabus, if you want to read the syllabus, the objective, learning objectives. You ever taken classes, right? You have learning objectives, right? You start the class, teachers know what I'm talking about. You have learning objectives, right, for this year, for this class. Number one, forgive your enemies. That's like a must-learn lesson. That's why we're here on earth, actually. This is a big one, learning to love your enemies. And here's the thing, pray for them. Do you pray for people who hurt you? That sounds so offensive. Do you pray that they become Christians? And pray for them, even if they are Christians. Luke 6:27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. That's such a non-Christian, like people that love you and you love them, that's not being a Christian. That's just being a normal person. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. Jesus is now phrasing, we're going to talk a little bit more, phrasing how loving your enemy is a benefit to you. It is in your interest. It is not in God's interest. He doesn't need you to love your enemies. You're not doing him any favors. You're not doing anybody any favors. You're just hurting yourself. Because this is a huge learning objective. You can't die. I'm here to tell you. You cannot die and not learn this lesson. Because this lesson you cannot learn in heaven. There are some things, important things. In heaven, you will know quantum physics. Don't get too busy trying to be too smart. In heaven, you won't even need to be athletic. In heaven, you don't need to be that great of a musician. There are things in heaven where, snap of a finger, God can do anything. There are things in heaven that require, well, actually, you can't learn these things in heaven. That's the bottom line. So you got to get it in your mind anytime you encounter. Now, think of your enemies. Think of the people that you have bitterness against, resentment. And I'm not just talking enemy. We're going to talk about frenemies. I'm talking of people who have wounded you. They might not even know. They might not even care. It is a benefit to you to love them. Let's talk about now frenemies. Forgiving covenant frenemies. Okay? Peter comes up to Jesus. It's one of his, probably one of the disciples. All right? Now, the Bible doesn't say it, but I bet you it was Judas. He was a bit of a weasel. So he's probably going up to Jesus and saying, He's probably thinking, Jesus is going to agree with me. Right? He's probably thinking, you know how you go up, talk to somebody, you know that this is a kind of a jerk and you want to gossip a little bit, right? Or you want to get some empathy. Jesus. How many times, right? Lord, how many times will my brother sin against me and I will forgive him? You know, and he's probably thinking, hey, Peter, man, you're doing a good job. You know what I'm saying? You're doing good. You just need to hang in there, buddy. You know? I got you. I know what you're going through, right? He's probably getting some empathy, right? Getting some sympathy points. Peter's going up to Jesus to get sympathy points, right? And Jesus, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. It's mind-blowing. And not only that, then he goes in and says, well, let me tell you a story. Because you're kind of thinking small here about yourself and the kind of forgiveness that you require. But let me tell you a story, because you think too highly of yourself. That's the point of this story, isn't it? The unforgiving servant, the parable. The reason we have a difficulty in what Jesus is trying to lay out is because we think too highly of ourselves. Like, Jesus did not die for me, he died for other people. If you have a difficult time forgiving your enemies, what Jesus is saying, or at least frenemies, what Jesus is saying is you don't really grasp the gospel. You're an immature Christian. You're a baby Christian. Okay? Or you're not a Christian at all if you live like that and you die. Again, this is the centerpiece in the hallmark. Then let's pick it up. Because this guy, billions of dollars in today's, 10,000 talents is how much this guy owed the king. And he turns, right? Says, and then he can't even forgive 100 denarii. Just a few thousand. Billions versus, right? Maybe 20,000, 30,000. Billions. It's dust. That's the point. Once if you have a problem forgiving, you have a problem seeing your own sins. Let me say it again. If you have a problem forgiving, you have a problem seeing your own sins. Why do we make much of the cross? Why do we make much of the cross? Because in order to make much of the cross, then our sins, we have to be able to see if you can't see the magnitude of your sins, then you can't see the magnitude of the grace and the love that's upon you. So the king, the master, summons him and said to him, you wicked servant. We're talking wickedness here. If you can't forgive, it's wickedness. I forgive you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Again, you say, how do I know I'm a Christian? Well, how are you forgiving? It's pretty actually, you know what I mean? How's that going? Do you care about forgiving people? Here's a hallmark. Here's the sign of an infection. Self-pity. You like to talk about your wounds, right? You like to bring it up. We're going to talk about this, right? The signs that things are not going well with you is because it's like every time you bring it up, every time you have to forgive. Every time you bring it up, every time you have to forgive. So that, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. And here's why it's for amongst covenant frenemies, people who are the covenant family, other believers, your family. Not only, it says be kind and be tender. Don't close yourself off because they hurt you. Don't close yourself off because they offended you. Be tender-hearted. And here's the command, forgiving one another. See, you can't cancel people, not in the covenant. You can't cancel them. You know, can't distance it. You got to work it out. Remember what we talked about last time we talked about this? Your forgiveness of others do not require, does not depend on the quality of their apology. Now, there is a forgiveness when a brother or sister comes and apologizes. All right? Everybody wins in that. Everybody. It's lovely when it happens. But I promise you, one-way forgiveness is vastly outnumbers apologetic forgiveness. But your forgiveness, even when somebody apologizes, if you ever say to somebody, oh, you don't mean it, that means you think that your forgiveness depends on the quality of somebody's apology. It does not. It depends on the cross. Now, we're going to get to the solutions. You're probably thinking, who can do this? You're probably thinking, who can do this kind of stuff? And you're Christians. I am saying this, I'm saying this because this is my testimony and my journey in my Christian faith. It says, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's how God forgives His covenant people, right? He doesn't cancel us. He sticks by us. He's tender-hearted to us. Even though we hurt Him, we offend Him, we hurt Him. You know, we reject Him, betray Him. Oh, you betray Him. Don't you forget that. You betray Jesus every time you go to a porn website. You betray Him every time. We're talking about betrayal. The kind of betrayal when you got married and you betrayed your wife, that's that kind of betrayal. And don't think it's any less than that because you have minimized it to think it's less than that. Why do you think the church is called His bride? Every time you reject Him and betray Him or you are disloyal to Him, you need to be forgiven. Yet, He doesn't condemn you. You ever felt condemned by Jesus? I have, in all my Christian life, never felt condemned. He never shames me. He just says, hey, Henry, right? Come to me just as you are. And He says this, though. Go ahead and sin no more. What do you think He said to the adulterous lady who almost got stoned to death? He says, hey, does anybody condemn you? He says, no. Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's what He says. Now, if you take your daily forgiveness for granted because you don't think that that hurts Him, it hurts Him. It hurts Him. That if you call yourself a believer and you betray Him and you reject Him, here's the thing, and you ignore Him, and you don't think that Jesus is a person, but He says, as God in Christ forgives you. Okay, let's talk about how to forgive people. And I want to particularly address, okay, and this is why we need to have this conversation in growth group, okay, and why we want to talk about this, because there's a lot more to it than what I'm going to present today. I want to talk about a category of people who are unaware that they hurt you, or they're unapologetic. They're unapologetic. You know the kind? You bring something up, you say you're hurt, right? They got a million excuses. They might even apologize, but they'll qualify it. Now, a lot of times though, right? It's the offense and your wound is magnified by your own mind. Okay? But we're not even going to talk about that today. We might talk about it in growth group. Matthew 10:30. Here's the thing about offenses when people hurt you. I want you to say this. Say this. Everybody say it loud. God knows. God knows. Say it again. God knows. God knows. Okay. Anytime somebody hurts you or offends you and injures you, you have to say, God knows. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there, and you pretend like somebody just hurt you and your dear, dear father doesn't know. You're so offended as if God does not exist. Now here's the question. Does it help that he knows? But even the hairs of your head, Matthew 10:30, are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God loves you. You're so valuable to him. So valuable. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. God is not some distant God. He knows. Even if they don't know. Question is, do you take comfort in that? The question is, do you turn to the one who can comfort you? Do you? John 3:6-35 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Do you know Jesus like that? Here's the greatest problem. When we get hurt, we turn to our thoughts. We don't turn to God. We turn to our thoughts. That's the problem, isn't it? If we turn to God and say, God, you know. I know you know. Right? And if you would just practice turning to God. Now, I'm not saying when you turn to God, you're going to be like a little angel. You're going to be fuming. You might have already had several bad thoughts. God knows. My children, my wife tells me when I'm hurt or offended, my face starts contorting. I can't hide it. You know, and it's like, you got to stop that. You got to stop. And sometimes I want to walk away. I want to walk away. But in my heart, right? I am learning to turn to God and take comfort. Sometimes I have to take my medicine. Sometimes I'm wrong, right? But look, he's the bread of life. Do you know him like that? Do you turn to God when you're hurt, when you're offended? Do you turn to him? He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. When you're hurt coming home from a hard day's work, you've been ignored, you've been taken for granted, you know, in a family member, taking care of your children. Doesn't matter, right? You feel misunderstood. The question is, here's a lesson that you must learn. You must learn that when you turn to God, that he's the source of your comfort, true comfort. You know what we turn to? Distraction. We turn to sin, actually. We'll turn to Netflix. You know, sometimes we'll turn to porn. Sometimes we turn to whatever. Your stress because you've been hurt. Here's the thing. Here's an honest thing for me. Every day, I actually hurt a lot. I do. I don't know why. Sometimes I just hurt. I wake up in the morning, I'm hurt. I'm trying to go to bed, and I'm hurting. And in those times, you know, you're just hurt. You just might have had a thought, you know, whatever it might have been. You're hurting, but you got to learn to say, God, you know. I know you know. Here's the thing. And he is no stranger to pain. He has borne your sorrows. Of course he knows. He has borne all of them. So you got to turn to the one who knows. 1 Peter 4:8. Here's the thing. You have to believe and trust that the love is going to be there. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since what covers a multitude of sins? Love. Sometimes you think that you don't got it. And here's the problem, unless you don't got it. Isn't that the problem? Jesus says when he went to the cross and died for your sins, he gave you love. Poured love, actually. Romans 5. And so there's love there. If you turn to God, it'll cover it. That's why Peter was like, God, how many times do I have to forgive my husband? How many times do I have to forgive my children, my spouse? Hey, look, God knows, and the love is there. You gotta turn to God, right? Let the love flow. And here's the thing. The reason why forgiveness is relegated to Christians, because you gotta be wealthy in love to forgive. You know why you forgive? Because you can. Because you can. Unless you can't. You know what I'm saying? Unless you can. And what Jesus wants you to know, if you can't, you can. He also wants you to know, though, if you can, then you must be saved. But here's the thing. Many of us know, you believe. And this is hard. And Jesus knows it's hard. But you gotta turn to him. You can't turn to distraction. Right? You can't. I remember those days. You know, we got in a fight. I'm walking away. I'm thinking about, I'm Perry Mason at that point. I'm Joe Lawyer. I'm thinking about why I'm right and the other person is wrong. I'm building my case. Stop building your case. Stop trying to win. Okay? There will be a time of correction, but it won't be during your fight. You got to say to yourself, in those moments when you are wounded, you're offended, you're traumatized, just remember this. You're in good training. It's good training. I love the military, right? You get some of the most horrendous situations. You know what we say? Oh, that's good training. Oh, that's good training. It's good training. And here's the thing. Don't you think that you don't need to learn it? Don't you think that you're above learning it? Romans 5:3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Look, God is building character here on earth. Because you cannot do that in heaven. It is the will of God. Now, you've been in training, which you know what a lot of people do? They withdraw from training. They don't like training. Here's the thing. If you're a soldier and you don't like training, you're not a soldier. If you're an athlete and you withdraw, you're not an athlete. And there is no such thing, okay, as a non-athletic, non-soldiering Christian. That means God will, if you believe, he will take you to training. And when you're in that moment, you better learn. Because guess what? If you don't learn that, you think God's going to, all right, well, let's forget lesson number one. You think he's going to do that? You think God does that? No, if you don't learn it in that moment, it'll come back. I promise you it'll come back. This is not a lesson you get to skip. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. If you turn to God in those moments and you say, God, train me. Train me. You turn to God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. How are you going to change? You're going to change. Romans 12:19. You got to learn to do the love judo. Okay? The love judo. What do I mean by that? Okay? You just got offended. You got unjustly something done to you. Now, when something is unjustly done, like you were just misunderstood. You were just unjustly somethinged. You were hurt. You were offended. You got all these emotions. Because rightly so, there's injustice going on. So you're now the police. Then Jesus steps in, because you're now the prosecutor, you're the jury, you're the judge, and you're the executioner. You're ready to go. He says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. Everybody will get what's coming. Don't you think? Now, if you're a believer, you're going to learn that lesson. Or you're not a believer, but you're going to learn that lesson. You're going to learn that lesson. And if you're not a believer and you don't have to learn that lesson, then you're not a believer. It's one or the other. But vengeance is mine. Look, you're not. Look, yes, I know you feel like, I know you feel like that sin is a primary offense against you. What Jesus is saying is, no. You know how sometimes, you know, like there's been a crime on the local streets. There's been a crime on the local streets, right? You know, somebody who was running away from Virginia, okay, crossed into Tennessee, shooting people up, you know, carrying a bunch of stuff that he shouldn't have been carrying, right? And the people in your town are furious because people in your town die. Then the federal people come in and say, look, that's our jurisdiction. What do you mean that's your jurisdiction? These are my people that got just fried up over here. You don't like it when the FBI comes in and says, no, no, this is a federal jurisdiction, interstate commerce or something. Now, I'm just giving you a little scenario. I might be imperfect in that, but you get my point, right? That's what God is doing. Look, I know you think, but I want you to understand something. Everybody that has ever harmed and done whatever to Henry is going to get their due. Okay? Now, if they come under the cross, they're going to get trained. Now, I can't begrudge God because he gives mercy to who he wants to give mercy. That's not up to me. But I can trust that God will do what God does. Vengeance is mine. That means you don't get to be, okay, Joe prosecutor. You don't. You don't have to figure out ways to prosecute this person. You don't get to do road rage. I will repay. To the contrary, here's the Judah part. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, don't forget, we could just kind of, you know, you could tell Paul's feeling a little something there too, right? Because they're going to get what they're, you know, what's due. But he says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the Judah part. Here's how you are freed when you have injustice done against you. The pathway to freedom is overcoming evil with good. I know, you wish. Your pathway to freedom is not justice. It isn't. If the worst perpetrator in this, you know, has come and did a horrendous crime to your family, unfortunately, right? And fortunately, I have to forgive him. And no matter if I go to the execution, watch that execution, and say justice was served, that is not going to satisfy. What is going to satisfy you is if you forgive them and letting them know that you are forgiven. That's not me talking. That's Jesus talking. That's God. That's scripture. The pathway to freedom for any injustice that has ever been done to you is forgiveness, because justice will be levied. It's a federal crime. All injustice done to you is a federal crime. So you do love Judah. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-5, okay? Here's the thing. This is going to be a tough one, right? If you have a wound, if you've been hurt, if you've been traumatized, if you've been offended, if injustice has been done to you, but that wound hasn't healed, it's still pretty raw, it's fresh. It happened a while ago, but it's fresh. That wound is infected. That wound is infected. There is a work of Satan and his demons. There is a strong man, okay, in your life, infecting you, covering that wound with dark lies, making you think that you can just move on. You can't just move on. Now, it might lie dormant like TB. TB, tuberculosis, is a mycobacterium. Has a coat around it, right, of fatty acid, right, chains. And it could lie dormant, and it could flare, right? So it got that encasing. And like some of our wounds, you know? And you might get the trigger. You might get that trigger, and all of a sudden now, it's not healed. Sometimes you got to go back. You got to come into counseling, right? It's spiritual warfare, right? You got to talk about this. But you are infected. That wound hasn't healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have every ability to rebuke it. Here's the thing. A spiritual warfare is not a power play. It's a truth play. You don't fight the enemy with power. You fight the enemy with the truth. Whatever the lies that encase that wound, like you could, well, I heard it all. I've forgiven him, but I'm not going to forget. You didn't forgive him. You give lies power by giving it validity. And it's encased your wounds. 100% of the time, when a wound is not healing, it is because it is infected with lies. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, it does not boast, it does not become conceited, it does not behave dishonorably, it is not selfish, it does not become angry, it does not keep a record of wrongs. Why does God tell you to love your enemies? He's telling you not to keep a record of wrong. Let that go. Commit yourself not to remember it and give it validity. Self-pitying is a form of record keeping. Grumbling is a giving validity to record keeping. Self-pity and grumbling are two of the biggest forms, because when you're hurt, you want people to know. You want sympathy. And it's okay to want sympathy. It's okay to want to be consoled. But if you think that, you know, you don't get to turn to God and you get to just vent with self-pity and grumbling, then you're piling on. That wound is going to be constantly infected. And you know what I'm talking about? Wounds that are infected. You all got them, right? Because you keep bringing it up. It might be triggered. How do you fight this kind of... The enemy, folks, here's the thing about, okay? Nobody in this room, nobody who's listening to us online, okay, can tell me that you recognize the voices of the enemy. You don't. You can look back, though. That's 2020. You can look back. You know the wounds that are infected, right? And you know you've given validity to it, right? If a wound is not healed because it is infected, and you got to talk about it, you got to rebuke it, it is spiritual warfare 100%. 100% spiritual warfare. Yeah, right? You got to erase those records. Because when God forgives, He what? He remembers your sins no more. He remembers your sins no more. It's not like He doesn't know your sins. We're made in the image of God. He doesn't like obsess over your sins, feeling re-injuring yourself. You re-injure yourself. Every time you re-injure yourself, you have to forgive all over again. And it's fresh. Stop re-injuring it. Stop pulling on that scab. And this is the thing. It's a lie. All right, we're gonna take time to pray. All right, let's get the praise team up and then. With your eyes closed. When you are hurt and offended, do you say to yourself, God knows? When you have to take a step of faith to forgive and to cover that sin, do you remember and trust that love will be there? Do you say to yourself in those moments that what it feels like is not what it feels like, but this is training? And God means good for us. Do you do love judo? Do you overcome evil with good, or do you come evil with evil? Do you counterattack when you hear words of attack? We don't get to do that. And do you rebuke? Do you commit to not keep a record of wrongs? You don't pull events from the past. You don't try to tie it all together to attack somebody in that moment. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit these actions to You when we're hurt, even when somebody is not apologetic. They're not even aware that they're hurting us. But God, You know. You know. You know when we're hurt. God, You know when there's injustice. Lord, we come to You, and we want to know what it's like to be comforted with, God, all Your comfort. And we want to transform to be like You, God. And so as we worship, Lord, would You free us? God, would you free us now to really just come before You and surrender and take steps of faith? In Jesus' name.